When we read, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. That's Psalm 32:8. You know, experiencing that truth in your quiet time will take the scripture from just being in your head to something that gives you hope and strength and direction throughout your day.
I like reading about Joshua in the Bible. Many of us are familiar with his declaration, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, from Joshua 24:15. But in Joshua chapter 1, he said something that's going to be the focus of our conversation today. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Welcome to Champions Arise. I'm your host, Foster Brown, and I'm with Kent Darcy. Over the last couple of programs, we've used some words that can be kind of scary to men. Quiet time, journaling, memorization. And today we're going to discuss meditation. And we're going to look at the power we can receive from meditating on the Bible. Men of God, we're going deeper, so stay with us here on Champions Arise.
At Champions Arise, we want you to finish well the race of life. And this series of programs is designed to help. There is no doubt that this world is filled with distractions. Allow for the still small voice of God to break through the cacophony of noises that surround you and determine in your heart to follow His design for your life, marriage, and family. Champions Arise is your program to succeed in what matters most. To learn more about Champions Arise, go to championsarise.org. championsarise.org.
Kent, you know, I have to be honest. When I think of meditation, I picture myself sitting on a mat with my arms folded across my chest and humming a mmm or something like that. When Joshua said, meditate on the book of the law day and night, that's not what he was talking about, I hope.
No. Biblically, meditation is not clearing your mind. It's thinking with purpose.
Ah.
You know, Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So what we meditate on is very important because it will affect our beliefs and actions. You know, basically meditating on God's word takes memorization to the next level.
Tell us now what you mean by taking memorization to the next level.
Okay, well, it's very important to memorize God's word. However, if we aren't careful, it's easy to fill our minds with a bunch of words that have little or no meaning. An example of that would be like in school. You know, our children will often memorize a lot of facts and definitions, but they memorize it to pass the test, you know, not to change their lives.
Sure.
Now, in the same way, without meditation, the scripture tends to stay in our minds rather than touching our hearts and changing our lives.
Okay, I think I understand that now. Mm-hmm. But what does digging deeper or meditating look like?
Well, you know, for us, meditating is thinking with purpose. And Lonnie Berger, in his book, Every Man a Warrior, encourages us to think with purpose in our quiet times by using he calls it the ask questions method. Now, this method encourages us to ask four questions when we are focusing on a verse. And these four questions are, is there a commandment to obey? Is there a promise to claim? Is there a sin to avoid? And is there an application to make? Let me repeat those. Is there a commandment to obey? Is there a promise to claim? Is there a sin to avoid? And is there an application to make?
So the ask questions method helps us to dig deeper.
Yes, yes. And we're going to look at these questions one by one to learn how to dig deeper. So first, we need a scripture. Can you read Psalm 32, verse 8, please?
Okay. It says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you.
Okay, great. Now, can you read that one more time just so we can have it in our minds?
Psalm 32, 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you.
Great, thank you. Now, when you're meditating on a verse like this, the first question to ask is there a commandment to obey? And the amazing thing about God and His Holy Spirit and His Word is that we can all receive different answers to this question. Now, in this verse, God says, I will instruct you, I will teach you, I will counsel you. To me, this verse is saying that I am commanded to receive God's instruction, teaching, and counsel. But am I doing this? I mean, guys hate reading instructions. I mean, we like to do things on our own.
And that's why we never ask for directions.
Well, that might be part of it. You know, but when I look at this verse and the command to receive God's instruction and counsel, if I'm not doing that, I have to ask myself, is it pride? I mean, if so, that's a problem. I mean, because Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And Proverbs 16:5 says, everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. In James 4, in verse 6, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And we need to come humbly into his presence and take the answer God gives us to this question to heart.
That's why asking the question and listening for the answer is very important.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, if you've just joined us, this is Champions Arise. I'm Foster Brown, and I'm speaking with Kent Darcy about the importance of meditating on God's Word. Now, Kent, I'm amazed that we gleaned so much from just this one question.
Yeah.
What's the next one?
Well, the first question was, is there a command to obey? The second question is there a promise to be claimed? Now, in this case, the answer is definitely yes. When we read, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you, at Psalm 32:8, we see God saying, I will. And when God says, I will, he will. If we let him.
Ah.
Now, God, he won't force himself on us. The promise is there, but it has to be claimed. Now, when we're at our job and we're struggling to complete a project or solve a problem, this promise can be claimed. When we're at home and trying to minister to our wife and kids when everything seems to be going wrong, this promise can be claimed. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. You know, experiencing that truth in your quiet time will take the scripture from just being in your head to something that gives you hope and strength and direction throughout your day.
And that's why God's Word is such a powerful tool. And it's available for us in whatever circumstance we might face.
That's right. That's right.
All right, now to the third question.
Okay, and a reminder that these questions are used to help us meditate, to think with purpose and to dig deeper in the scriptures we read in our daily quiet time. That's the purpose here. And so far we've said, is there a command to obey? And is there a promise to claim? The third question is there a sin to avoid? Now, in the scripture we're using as our example, you know, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. We already looked at one possible sin we might be committing, and that was pride, you know, our not being willing to let God teach us and counsel us, or thinking we already know enough and don't need his help. But say if there was another verse, the sin God might be addressing could be anger or lust or coveting or unforgiveness or whatever God shows us we need to deal with.
So it sounds like this could be a very important question.
Oh, it definitely is. You know, Psalm 19 in verses 12 and 13, it says, how can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. You know, don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent from great sin. And, you know, the reference to hidden sin in that verse reminds me of a situation I heard about. There was a man named Dave who was discipling another man named Alan and teaching him about quiet times. And for the first year, Alan had daily quiet times. But then Alan bought a new apartment that needed a lot of repair. And as a result, he would work all day. And then he would go to do repair work on the apartment until like midnight. Well, one morning, when the two men met, Alan said, I'm tired. I don't have my lesson done. I haven't been having my quiet times. I never see my kids, and my wife is mad at me too. And apparently, you know, there's a principle here that Alan had forgotten. Without meditation, without that daily quiet time, the scripture tends to stay in our minds rather than touching our hearts and guiding our actions. Now, this story about Alan also covers our fourth question, which is there an application to make?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the scripture that encouraged Alan to change was Proverbs 23, verse 4, which says, do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. Now, Alan decided to apply that scripture to his life, and that night after work, he went home instead of going to the apartment to do repairs, hugged his wife, played with the kids, and started his next day with an extra long quiet time.
Now, that is encouraging to see the meditation process in action. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Alan's wife and kids are very happy mm-hmm. that he recommitted to having that daily quiet time.
Oh, yeah. And I'll bet Alan was a lot less stressed, too. You know, as men, we live busy lives, and we often think that we don't have time for daily quiet time with God. But the busier we are, the more we need it. You know, I've heard that the great reformer, Martin Luther, had an extremely busy schedule, mm-hmm. but he set aside 3 hours a day for prayer.
3 hours?
Yeah. He would skip ministry opportunities so that he could spend more time seeking God's face in prayer. Now, Martin Luther said, if I'm going to serve my church well, I need to pray. And as Christian men, if we're going to serve God and our families, we need to have our daily quiet times as well. But there's one more question we need to ask when we are meditating on a scripture verse. Have I learned something new about God?
Oh, wait. What do you mean? Something new about God? God doesn't change.
Well, that's right. That's right. But we do.
Ah.
You know, our job may change. Our marriage goes through stages of having no kids, to having kids, to having kids who are adults and out of the house. You know, maybe we have physical changes as we get older.
Mm.
You know, the point is, God's word can help us to see God in new ways based on the situation we're in.
Absolutely.
Now, I hope all this isn't sounding overwhelming to people. You know, the important thing is to start and maintain your quiet time routine. It's one of those beneficial habits that will help us throughout our Christian life. You know, we see this in the scripture we've been using as our example. You know, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Yeah, maybe as a young man, you saw God teach you how to be a better husband. Perhaps later, you experienced God as the counselor when you were trying to be a good dad for your teenage daughter. You'll see the same scripture differently at different times.
Sure.
But meditating on scripture can reveal a wealth of information that can guide and transform our lives.
Ken, I am really grateful for this program because mm-hmm. I'm now seeing meditating on God's word in a very different way.
Mm-hmm.
But before we finish, let's review what we've learned.
Sure. We learned that adding meditation to our quiet times enables us to dig deeper into God's word, and this helps us to make the scriptures part of our lives instead of just information we know. And to meditate on a verse, we need to ask 4 questions. Is there a commandment to obey? Is there a promise to claim? Is there a sin to avoid? And is there an application to make? And I know we covered a lot of ground today, but you can review these principles in Lesson 5 of Lonnie Berger's book, Every Man a Warrior.
Thanks, Kent.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can be excited that we don't have to go through life without answers
mm-hmm.
because we have the manual for being a godly man, and it's called the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Let's all commit to having meaningful quiet times by adding meditation of the Bible verses to our daily routine.
Champions Arise founder Edmund Speaker talks about the need for men of valor and character.
I had the privilege to have in my life great role models of men of valor and character. Today, saying that the difference between a man and a boy is the price of his toy stabs me in the guts. We can do better than that. Our families and our society are in urgent need for men of valor who stand up for what is right. Our program will help men to do exactly that.
You can learn more about the Champions Arise movement when you go to championsarise.org.
Thank you for listening to Champions Arise, where men are equipped and strengthened to meet their God-given potential. Today we were challenged to think with purpose by meditating on God's word in our daily quiet times. The material for this program came from Lesson 5 in the book Every Man a Warrior by Lonnie Berger. His book is a great tool for individuals, small groups, or in a class at your church. For more information about that book or this program, visit our website at www.championsarise.org. Don't miss the next program in this series as we wrestle over the phrase, "You do not have because you do not ask." I'm Foster Brown with Kent Darcy. Thank you for listening to Champions Arise. May God mold you into the man He knows you can be.